Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. The last episode, The End is Near, episode 185, led to an interesting issue for me. A lot of people contacting me, asking me for more ideas. So this episode is an extension of our last conversation. Do you know what the single greatest way is to change the behaviors of others? Is it a motivator like money or rewards? Is it recognition or medals? Is it a promotion, more authority or time off? Is it the opportunity to do things differently? Is it freedom from responsibility? Nope. When we serve others through our leadership, we need to know how to support others. This week, I'm going to quickly explore for you some research and data we have and then challenge you to shift your behavior as we continue to slowly, very slowly, come out of this pandemic. Moving out of the pandemic is going to take a significant and intentional effort of leaders to lead through with optimism and strategy. Remember that a buffalo is someone who charges into the world they are facing with zeal and energy. No waiting around to see if our problems will go away. Instead, they move and pivot quickly, learning and growing on the journey, and always, always charging into the storm, occasionally pausing, but then always moving forward. What happens, however, when the buffaloes have been charging nonstop, driving daily into new situations that lead them to wonder, wait a minute, have I been running west or have I been running in circles? Am I doing a good job? Am I even making a difference? Can you imagine charging with a group of people for months and having no idea if it's making a difference or if you're growing from the experience? I mean, people are relatively confident. However, they don't always need to be told they're doing a good job. But if you never reinforce how things are going, then you need to make certain you provide the opportunity to prop them up and move them forward by fueling their risks, their efforts, and their innovations. I recently met with a leader who asked me if I could process an issue with them because they had listened to my idea about after-action reports and done one, and it made them want to quit their job. I was like, uh-oh. And I immediately set up a time to have a conversation. So one evening last week, we processed. And then I was more than happy to meet with them, and we discussed something that I was a little taken aback by. Now, this person, in the middle of my conversation, heard me say, I need to do a podcast about what we're talking about. Is it okay if I take notes? And she said yes. And then we discussed if she should quit. I was very surprised when she said she was thinking of leaving her job, and I asked her why, and she simply said, I don't think anyone knows what I do anymore. You see, the number one way to change someone's behavior and increase engagement is reinforcement, positive reinforcement, a recognition that you see and appreciate what they're doing. Money? Money moves people in the short term. Prizes? Well, those create limited lift, but a sense of being appreciated and recognized subtly for your efforts, well, that's the honey. Sweet, healthy, and it never spoils. Before I tell this story, I'm telling you right now, listen carefully and do not overcompensate if this discussion makes you feel guilty. The anti-motivator is when people like you and I, who are not always really good at giving people positive reinforcement, overreact and are disingenuous, suddenly sending everyone a thank you card, patting people on the back, attaboys all over the place. If it's not your nature, well, that kind of thing can really spoil it for everyone. Let's get back to my conversation. The gist of it was that this leader, who works in healthcare, indicated that for the past 16 months, she has been working 60-plus hour weeks. She has been rapidly shifting processes, inventing new ways to go about the work, determining and innovating around procedures and changing them in motion, and supporting a large team. She's had COVID. She came back. She rolled out significant program shifts, and in her eyes, it's all been successful. I listened empathetically, and frankly, I was really impressed with all the things she had done. She indicated that her network had given her a very sizable bonus, a new title, and a raise for her efficiencies, her team development, and all of her innovations. I asked if that's what they told her. Did they tell you that that's the reason you got all of those things? And she said, well, my boss said things were going well, and they put all of that in a letter from HR. Oh, a letter. I kept listening, and the entire time, frankly, I was wondering, when is she actually going to discuss the real problem here? She gave me more details about her work and their team's accomplishments, and I sat there really impressed. I thought, how is she not just filled with joy? Finally, I asked her, all right, so you've done amazing work that has saved lives, increased efficiency, supported people getting healthy faster, brought teams together from different units and floors, and you got a big raise and a new title. Why is it you want to quit? Her answer floored me. I don't think anyone knows what I do. Wait, you're going to walk away from all of that success because you don't know if anyone knows what you do? Then I had a spark. I had just finished a couple of weeks ago reading several surveys of teachers, like literally thousands of samples from multiple school districts about what the staff was feeling. And in these schools, they were basically all saying the same thing that this executive was telling me. They were saying, I don't know if what I'm doing is making a difference. Now, these are thousands of teachers. Of course you're making a difference. Why would you even think that? But then it hit us. Well, you don't know. Well, when I presented that information to the executive, she said, well, I knew you would say that I need to get over this. I knew you'd say that I'm making a difference. And I knew you would say that I matter. But then we did an exercise in empathy, and we came to a mutual conclusion. And here is that conclusion. When you are living in a time when you are racing every day from crisis to crisis, pivoting every hour, never able to establish a routine, and you are unable to simply follow a set course, well, you fail to look around once in a while and simply say, what did we just do? That was simple, yet remarkable. What is going on in the world of leaders right now? And this is empathy. The reason we need empathy is because there is a failure for many people to tell you they're grateful, that they're appreciative, that they see you because they too are in constant crisis. Everyone is running around like crazy, and they're accidentally looking past everything and everybody. And then the executive and I came to the conclusion that everyone is simply leading, living, and learning in the 21st century's COVID frontier. We've never been in anything like this before, where we do not know what will happen next. And as you know, like literally next. But like we've talked about, we need to collect and discuss what it is that's gone on around us. Moving forward, we need to establish the opportunity for all of us to be empathetic and, more importantly, to learn from all of this. And the best way to find out is to have a collective conversation. You see, as I and this executive were speaking, one thing became clear to both of us. All the natural social structures, they've been disrupted. You're not supposed to be in rooms with people for long periods of time. We haven't had socials for a year where people from other areas or departments or parts of your school just naturally and unintentionally have conversations like, hey, I've been meaning to tell you that I was really impressed with what you did and you're awesome and I appreciate you and I appreciate what you've done for us. Or the casual at work conversations while waiting for a microwave where we have the, oh, that happened to you also? Huh, I thought that was just me. No, what we have is video conferencing, small groups of like-minded people, people moving from space to space, no interaction of colleagues to any depth or normalcy, and a total absence of the accidental and natural appreciation that comes when people all get together. Nobody notices little or big things because there's no time to do such. Nobody understands that life is not as complicated as it seems because we don't have as many opportunities to just simply be together. A natural consequence of two experiences. We've all been running at 100 miles per hour from one fire to another, and we have not been able to be in a room together formally or even informally. Now, let's establish a process for recognizing the extraordinary efforts of the people that would otherwise have been just ordinary in a normal year. Without a process, we leave people to their own narratives, a narrative that dangerously grows within their minds to a point where a highly successful healthcare leader feels that she's not important and no one notices her, although there is a ton of evidence to the contrary. Here's what I want you to do so that you're not an absent-minded leader. And remember, this goes for everyone, not just the tip of the hierarchy, everyone in every position, no matter who you serve or who you work with. We're all leaders. Because we all have influence. Now, the historian in me wants us to be actively capturing this amazing experience we've just shared. So, here is the process. We are going to create a gallery of wisdom, like a museum. I want you to find a large space and give everyone a post-it pad in advance. Schedule people to go into the large space at different times, and you're going to have prompts all over that large space. Now, if I were still a middle school principal, I would put a poster paper all over the library and ask people to come prepared with as many answers to the following prompts as possible. And here is the key. The key is that people do the reflections before they come into the room, before they come in the room, and by themselves, and they post their info afterwards. Otherwise, you get crowd creep and all the answers become homogenized. Here we go. These are the active reflection and empathy inquiries that will lead to a new narrative in the minds of all you serve, drive more people to recognize and understand that they make a difference, and get other people to notice the extraordinary efforts that most humble people are too quiet to share. Here they are. So, on one poster pad, I would have this. Knowing what you know today, what advice would you give yourself at the start of the lockdown? Truly a reflection question, and then have them list as many different prompts as you'd like that you would give yourself advice on. And humor is always encouraged. Buy toilet paper in February. List the names of people who've supported you and then describe how. List actions you've taken that are temporary. List practices that you've employed that you will maintain or want the organization to maintain moving forward. List ways you've grown. List what you have overcome. List examples of work you are proud of. And then last, list a memory of our time together during this pandemic. You can ask people to sign their post-its or leave them anonymous. It depends on your culture. Once everyone in the organization has gone through it and all the post-it pads are up, you ask everyone to return and have them reflect and walk the gallery, your COVID museum, and see all the ways that people viewed this time together, how each person has a very different perspective. See the names of those that the culture believes were extraordinary. See your own name. See work done by colleagues. And then, when it's all done, one more final reflection. Ask everyone to write a 3-4 sentence reflection of what they saw in your COVID museum. Write a review, and then you collect all of them, put them into a single document, and publish it for the staff. Take all the posters and then roll them up, but don't throw them away. Because at opening in service, put them back out. The next time you're together in a year, put them back out. And the year after that, put them back out. The only way for us to truly remember and reflect and grow is to constantly revisit all of the amazing things that have been done. Reinforce through the culture what we expect, recognize and fuel the effort, and let no one feel isolated. Take the opportunity to do this with every group, with your students, with athletes, with your colleagues, with your team, with other people that you work with, whoever. The ultimate celebration is a collection of our effort and our wisdom. Let no one walk through your organization wondering if they have value, if they were doing the right work, or if they matter. Because of course they do. We've just failed to take the time to genuinely collect our efforts and stop for a moment. Before we race back to normal, let's celebrate the most abnormal moments of our life and discover what other people have done, how they're grateful, and then increase empathy and reflection through our organization. Because this will provide lift, and maybe it'll reinforce with those they serve that they make a difference, even if we've been moving so fast we forgot to stop and look around. So let's do some smart thinking. List the strategies you will employ to support your buffaloes and allow them to recognize their contributions. Foreshadow what you think others will write on their prompts. And last, describe how you can grow others by helping them recognize their ability to be a difference maker. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. Hey, as always, thank you for listening, and please share this episode and rate it on whatever platform you listen to. Thank you to the Wellpennies for their great music, and make sure to follow them and listen to them on Spotify, Pandora, whatever your platform is. Help us help them be better. And finally, don't underestimate the terrible things people can contrive in their minds. Our brains can quickly sabotage our confidence, destroy relationships, or our ability to take risks and serve others at our greatest level. Now, if our brain can do that to us, imagine how the brains work in those that struggle, that lack confidence, that are cows by nature, who view the world through a negative lens. Imagine what happens to people who have bad experiences, fail, and then can't even recover. Can you imagine how hard that is? Good, because that's called empathy. And as leaders, we need to create the conditions so that people can overcome those obstacles that they have convinced themselves they cannot get past. It's crazy to me to think that people can get stuck in pits like that. And I understand it. However, that woman I was coaching, she didn't quit. After we talked, she just changed her narrative. Buffaloes live life forward, but leaders employ process so that everyone can move in an effort to be their best in the moment anyone else needs them. Let's grow this week by helping people see that life is an adventure and we are overcoming, collaborating, and growing every minute of the day. Let's see the storm and run into it, knowing that the sun is always going to be on the other side. Let's face down what bothers us and have courage. And most importantly, let's lead others so that they share in the enthusiasm that we do for failure. And most importantly, that they can find success.